From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Guy Raz. Here's a brief history of the sound evolution of Damon Albarn. Back in the 1990s, he fronted the hugely popular British indie band, Blur. This past decade, Albarn turned the music industry on its head by forming a virtual band called Gorillaz. You never saw the humans in the band. They were represented by cartoon characters. And Gorillaz merged a variety of sounds: hip-hop, rock, dance, and electronica. Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing because I'm counting no A's. This year, Albarn's written and mounted an acclaimed opera based on the life of a 16th century English mystic. Here's a performance of one of the songs from the opera.
The apricots up from Silbury Hill, higher until heaven reveal.
Which brings us to this past summer. Damon Albarn went on a 5-day journey to Kinshasa to produce an album of Congolese music. In Kinshasa, Albarn gathered a collective of Congolese performers, and he produced this new record. It's called Kinshasa 1-2, and it's just out now. All the proceeds go to the aid organization Oxfam, and the album is designed to bring attention to Congo, where corruption and a brutal civil war have left millions in extreme poverty. And Damon Albarn joins me now from London to talk more about the record. Welcome.
Thank you very much. That was a concise précis of my life.
In about a minute and 20 seconds. I know you were approached by Oxfam to help produce a record. Why Congo? Why did you end up going there?
Well, I actually started my relationship with them 10 years ago, and they invited me out there, and I didn't really want to just sort of walk around and sort of be a sort of alien on the ground and stick out like a sore thumb. I wanted to get involved, and the thing that I'm passionate about is music. So they were amazingly open to that idea, and they introduced me to some extraordinary musicians from Mali. And there's been a lot of water under the bridge since then, but 10 years later we felt that it was time to do another record in that with that kind of sort of spirit. And this time I just didn't have the sort of time that I had last time. And I thought, well, an easy way to get around that would be to invite a group of producers, not musicians, a group of producers, and take them and give them 5 days, give them maximum access to the musicians in Kinshasa and try to interpret what they were playing to us. Because, I mean, the basic premise was that they would play and we would record and then go off to our computers and sort of manipulate the sounds. And but there was one rule, which was that every sound we used had to come from the experiences we were having in Congo.
There are elements of dance music in here and electronic music and also very spare, more sort of traditional African music.
Yeah, I mean it's only a snapshot, really, if you like a pirate radio broadcast of what was happening.
There's a track on the record called Customs, and it features a Congolese act called Bokatola System.
Yeah, they're Mbuti tribesmen and one tribeswoman.
On that track, you hear these layers of sound, almost industrial sounds. Can you walk us through this track? Can you tell us what we're hearing?
Yeah, this came together of just literally having a tape recorder, a hard drive recorder, out in under a tree, and they're all playing fun pianos. Now, for those who are not aware of what a fun piano is, it's kind of like a resonator box with strips of metal on, which are kind of have their own individual tuning. And there were three of the musicians playing that, and they build up trance-like sound.
I read that some of the sounds that you used on some of these tracks were really found sounds, like plastic bags, for
example. Yeah, I mean, that is the standout kind of sort of soundbite, really, about the Congo, is that, you know, living conditions on the ground are so sort of meagre in many senses of the word, but people don't have the money to buy conventional instruments, so they make their own out of anything from old plastic tubs to pieces of piping to radial wires from old tires. You know, it's extraordinary because through that process they actually create a whole new language in sonics and a new musical language as well.
One of the tracks is so different from the others. It's spare, it's simple, it's called Love. What's the story behind that recording? Because it is so different from the other ones.
It's how all the stuff originated. We recorded it all with one mic, you know, a good mic, and just recorded the performances.
So with most of the tracks on the record, I mean, a lot of this sounds like it really was recorded in different places, outdoors, indoors.
Yeah, just anywhere in Kinshasa, really, that we found ourselves, the tape recorder was on, and then the sort of transition from that to a produced track sort of happened individually with the producers in sort of time allocated to work on what we'd listen to.
You recorded this record in just 5 days. You had to gather dozens of Congolese musicians. Did that chaos create, in a strange sort of way, a kind of order as well?
Well, inevitably, as long as everyone is kind of on the same page, something gets done, you know. And if there is a sort of more political context to the whole creative process, it is that and that only, that through chaos and through a sort of a willingness to be on the same page, people can do extraordinary things.
I've been talking to singer-songwriter and record producer Damon Albarn. His latest project is the album Kinshasa 1-2, recorded in the Democratic Republic of Congo, with all proceeds benefiting the nonprofit Oxfam. Damon, thank you.
That's my pleasure. Thank you. Oh,